Chocolate milk and corn chips. Every once in a while, when I put out an article or appear in a venue like this, I get a message from my friend. Chocolate chip and corn chips. And sometimes he says in front of people, I don't mind, we're really good friends. And they look at me, what are you taking orders? Are you moonlight at night with a different kind of a business? And sometimes I tell people this is what it's all about. This friend of mine was together with me in the bungalow colony, and he, le'aleinu v'le'alechem, lost several children. At that point, they weren't well. And they were downstairs, and the situation wasn't good. And people knew it required a nes shelo p'derech hateva. As Hashgacha would have it, I had a little office. Now, this is a bungalow, real thin walls. You know what they say about bungalows, that someone went and knocked in a picture and the neighbor comes from the other side and says, you mind if I hang my hat on the other side of the nail? Like, this was the kind of setup that was going on. And one of the things that I would do at night was I would record a series of chizuk for a certain organization, very well-known organization that does wonderful things. And there were like little these simcha or chizuk tapes, and I would do it late at night. And his bungalow was right underneath me. And apparently he once heard one of my great chizuk shmuzen, how you have to be mechazek yourself and how life has to go on and how we have no right to give up. And all of a sudden the door opens up, and you know how you love it when you're recording and somebody comes in. Again, he's a good friend of mine, it's okay. And he walks behind me, and he physically takes this bag of corn chips that was laying on the desk, opens it up, and proceeds to empty the contents on top of my head. Again, it's a very good friend, so it was all good-natured. I thought that would really make for an interesting shot on the video, and if that didn't make people laugh, I don't know what would. Being that I was concerned he was going to do the same with the chocolate milk, so I closed the recorder down, and I turned it around, and I said, hi, Mosh, everything okay? He says, you mind if I tell you something? And I says, that means you're going to tell it to me whether I mind or not, so go ahead. He says, I just love this. I just have to put a kid in bed by lifting him with this type of a crane because he has no muscle movement. You know, we had to lift him, crank him up, lay him down on the bed, take him off for whatever reason, put him back on. It takes us an hour to go through this maneuver of getting him off his chair onto his bed. And I just love it. You're sitting up here and you're darshaning chizuk. Yes, you're giving chizuk to people with a bag of corn chips and a little container of chocolate milk. How nice. Eating corn chips and drinking chocolate milk and telling people to be strong. He says, I have a great idea. Why don't you leave the corn chips and the chocolate milk up here? And why don't you come downstairs as we're putting the next child into bed, okay? And give your chizuk shmooze over there. Now again, from a real good friend, it was wholesome words. He wouldn't have said it to me if I wasn't a good friend. But the words hit home. And it's kind of my code, you know? And he said something which is like pretty sharp. He once told me, you know that a mace is asur b'hana. It's prohibited to derive any pleasure from a person that passed away. He said, whatever you do, don't make a business out of being mechazik people. I thought long and hard about what he said. And essentially, what he said was, ein chacham kebar nisayon. No one is as smart as someone that's going through a situation. And I realized afterwards, and I really took it to heart, and what I do is, and I'll be thankful for him forever after, because he gave me this great introductory story whenever I do these type of chizik things. And whenever I would be afforded the opportunity to speak to, let's say, bereaved parents, or Rahman al-Islam, may Hashem protect us, or widows, or things like that, I always start with this story. And first people are quiet, and usually there's this huge round of applause. Because I realize how important this story is to them. I am making a disclaimer, okay? I'm not coming here on top of a high mountain of emunah and betachin and telling you who are suffering down there, now come now. You've learned Chayvus Halvavus. You've learned Mesillas Yesharim. Get up. Listen to me. I'm a professional at this. Because in a sense, there could be nothing as hurtful. You know, I have a friend. Lubanshim's Lapitan. He lost a child. I was young then. I was in Kailul. It was before we were in the chizik business, so to speak. And I was just coming to be Menachem Avil. And as we were driving up to his house, I was thinking to myself, what can I say to someone that just lost a child? I'm going to be Mechazik him. And I said, got it! You know that famous story with the Baal Shem Tov, that there was this couple that had a child after many, many years. And a child was born to them, and the child passed away. Oh, the child was only 2 years old, and they came back to the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov said that that child had to be down here to nurse from this mother's milk. That was its only reason that it had to be down here, and it was based on the whole story that the child was a prince and so on. That would be such chizik for this person, because his child that passed away is 2 years old. He had to come down to nurse from a Heilige Yiddish and Mama for 2 years. Surely that's going to make him feel good. So I come into the house and I sit down. Of course, the halacha is you let him talk first, and he gives me this look. No. So suddenly my tongue got twisted a little bit. And he says to me, I'll tell you one thing. A couple of people were here today. This is what he says to me. And I say, yeah. If I hear that story about the Baal Shem Tov with the milk one more time, I'm telling you, I'm going to get up and walk out. And I just stood there and said, oh, okay. Wanted to say something? Me? Say something? And I use this story also. And I want to share something with you. There are times I've spoken to groups of people that have gone through terrible tragedies in their life. And I start with the story. I don't tell them the first part, but I start with the story. You know, there once was a child. And I can see the anger in most of them. The pain. And I understand that pain. When I come to the last part of the story and I say, and by the way, I once told this to a friend of mine. He said, if I hear the story one more time and there's this huge roar of laughter in the crowd, and I understand the laughter, in a sense, it's like a relief. Because they thought that this speech is going to be one of those, what's your problem? The Neshama came down for this tikkun, did his job and it's on its way home. What are you crying for? And there's almost pain in the crowd. And once there's the turnaround, and my friend was so angry when I said the story, there was such a sense of an identifying with the people's pain. There was this sense of relief. Shoo. So wait a second. Does this mean that there's no place for chizuk? Does this mean that there's no place for emunah and betachain? Of course there is. But the person that's listening to it, who is in such a sensitive state, can read very quickly, where are you coming from? If you placed yourself on top of the mountain and you're demanding amunah and betachin from someone who is in so much pain, that's offensive. There's another way of doing it. If you put yourself into that person's shoes and he feels, you're feeling his pain, and there's a discussion, and suddenly it comes up, and you try it a little bit, and that person says, really, tell me that story again. Feel it out. Look at the person's eyes, and see if he's ready for the chizuk. And always, with a disclaimer, listen, not that I'm this big balamun and betach, and I'm not the one that's like, you know, on the level of, you know, accepting everything with love. Trust me, when I hear a noise in my back tire, I'm petrified. I don't know what's going on. You know, sometimes I say these things to myself and it helps me, so maybe we can kind of help each other. If you're coming from the position that you're on a level ground, it is so much easier. So much easier. I'll share with you some experiences where I was sitting shiva, Rachmana Letzlan, Ishan Kedacht, for my father and my mother. And you know, sometimes we pick up negative vibes that are coming in. I'm wrong. I should have long forgotten it. So many Yom Kippurs passed. But I'll tell you things that may have bothered me at that time, and it touched on certain sensitivities that I try to be careful with. I had three friends that came in. I asked permission from them, if I can say the story, that came in from wherever they came in from. It was a three-hour drive. And they came in together. And it was almost like, hey, you know, it's been a while since we got together. You know, we were able to enjoy this trip and schmooze. And I'm saying, oh, great, you needed a night out, and you took the opportunity of Nichum Avelim, and you came together. And on the way back, so I overheard them saying, so we stopped to eat over there? Yeah. Remember, we used to do it as Bachrim? Okay, great. You know, listen, Hamakim Yenachem Eschem. Yeah. I'm going to need Rabban Shalalem to be Menachemi. Don't make a group shear out of Nichum Avelim. You know the famous story of the person that came to be Mevaker Chayla? And they said that, you know, he's not ready for you yet. He really can't speak to you. He says, come on, I came from so far. What do you mean you're not ready yet? Well, he fell asleep. Well, wake him up and tell him I'm here. Sometimes you see it. People come to be Menachem Avel, and they're wearing a cape. I'm the hero. I came to be Mechazik you. It doesn't make people feel better. So what do I do when I come to be Menachem Avel? You do what Chazal tell us to do. There's a machloikis, whether it's Yikra D'chaya or do I come for the honor of the nifter? Is the neshama of the nifter there, b'shas ma'isa, or is it in the honor of the person that's here? I'm coming in the honor of the person that's here. That means I'm coming to be mishtatef b'tzar. The greatest words of Chizik I ever heard were the words of Rav Meir of Pramizlan, who once came to an almana crying and said, whatever I'm going to tell you is not going to make you feel better at this moment. Later on in life, you'll be ready for Chizik, but not at this moment. Right now, I just came to cry with you. And they cried together. And she said, Rebbe, nobody was mechazik me as much as you are. Of course there's a time for chizuk. In the process. But Chazal say, 3 days of crying, 3 days of pchi, 3 days of hesped, everything has to take its place. You'll be sensitive to where this person you want to be mechazik is up to. If you're not thinking of yourself as a hero, but you're thinking of, I want to be here with you. I've been called so many times to people, mamish, that are in a matzav of almost leaving this world. And I would sit down and say, I don't know what to say. I haven't the vaguest notion of what to say. I know what you're thinking, so why am I here? And I said, because it would have been so much easier for me to say, I don't know what to say, and I don't know the person, so like, I don't have time for this. But when I hear such a story, I have to be here. We all have to kind of be mishtatev with the tzar. It's the least that I can do. I don't know if I'm on the level of Rav Meir of Pramishlan that can burst into tears and cry with someone. But any level of feeling pain with each other, that is the Nichum Avelim. I want to share with you a story along the same lines. Many years ago, in a certain camp, there was a terrible tragedy that took place with a young bachur. And there was a shloishim suda, and the Olam obviously was very tzibrachin and hurt, and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zechel Racha, was there, and one of the speakers got up, and one of the speakers said, Bachrim, you know why this happened? It happened because of Bittul Torah. And he gave on, you know, really drilled it into us. And then Rabbi Yaakov, who also knew a thing or two about Bittul Torah, and they say Rabbi Yaakov and Slobotka didn't go to sleep until he fell into bed. If he had enough kayach to go to bed, he was still learning. Rabbi Yaakov began his shmuz, and I guess he felt it was important enough to say it barabim, because Rabbi Yaakov was very oiske cheshmet. He turned to the speaker and he asked him a question. You zent a novi? Are you a prophet? No. You zent a baal ruach hakedesh? You have a divine inspiration? You have a connection to the Urim V'Tumim? No. Aha. Uh-huh. So how do you know it happened because of Bittul Torah? He's like, I assume, you know, Chazal say, oh, it's a hashara that you have. It's your assumption. You don't know that it happened because of Bittul Torah. Because, you know, if you're wrong, and this particular mishap did not happen because of Bittul Torah, then apparently you were over a lav of leisainu, the lav of a noas dvarim. Because the family is now saying if they only would have gotten him to learn more, it wouldn't have happened. You understand that. Then Rabbi Yaakov turned to the Olam and he said, Bacharim, I want to talk to you about the importance of Limud HaTorah and the terrible punishment of Bittul Torah. And he almost repeated verbatim what the previous speaker said. Do you understand the greatness of Rabbi Yaakov's message? There's nothing wrong with saying, not only nothing wrong, it's what we have to do. When a tragedy happens, how are we going to be mechazik ourselves? You know, we're going to finish Shas. We're going to organize people to do things. That's what the Mashiach wants us to do. That's what the Rambam says we have to do. But don't go deciding that this is the reason the person died, unless you're a Navi and Hashem told you that. Because that's painful. Now again, if you walk into Be Menachem Avel, there's two reasons people go to Be Menachem Avel. One is, I have to make sure that he sees me. I have to make sure that he knows I was here. Which is fine. But understand what you're doing. Don't overdo it. Like, I'm here, remember, I came. It wasn't easy for me to come, but I came. What do you want me to do? You want a medal? Two, people come to Menachem Avel because you truly want to be Menachem the Avel. So that what you have to say is, Boyri Kalilamim, help me do this. When Chazal say, you don't talk first, but let the Avel talk, that means they're trusting you to gauge his mood. Now, depending on who you are and depending on who he is, it could be he does want to hear words of chizuk. Feel him out. As long as you're thinking that the primary purpose is that this person feels better, not that I did my job, then you will have siyata dishmaya. So being that people sometimes do like to hear a good vart, let me share with you some of the verter that I heard. The Sfas Emes says, Hamokim yinachem eschem. Eschem, plural. Who's the eschem? You don't always have multiple people sitting shiva. What if there's only one person sitting shiva? So why did Chazal create one formula, one size fits all, of Lashin Rabim? The reason, it says eschem, says the Sfas Emes, is because it's not only the person sitting shiva, it's the neshama that's also in pain. And why is the neshama in pain? Because the neshama will like to turn to his family member and say, I'm okay. Don't worry about it. I've come back to where I understand that it all makes sense to me now. I'm back home. And you're crying. I mean, you look at it like I'm gone. I'm back home. And the neshama says, can't I just tell him? Can't I just appear for 1 second and say, hey, don't worry about it. I'm okay. But part of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world is that the neshama does not have the ability to be able to convey that message directly to the family member who's crying. And that is the pain of the neshama. Look how this person is crying. If only I can tell him it's all right. This is the real life. Says the Sfas Emes, that is the hamokim yinachem eschem. You know when I heard this part? I heard someone who was so impressed with it. It meant so much to him. And I was looking at him and I was saying, you know, it takes a very big Baal Madrega to be impressed with this Vart, to feel good about it. He says to me, my Rosh Hashiva told it to me. My Rosh Hashiva was in the middle of a wedding of his own child. And he heard about the tragedy. And he figured we just came home from the Levaya and he called up. And he said, I asked the music to stop a middle. He was on his cell phone from Eretz Yisrael. And he said, I just want to tell you this part. Can you imagine what my Rosh Hashiva did for me in the middle of his wedding? He had to tell me this part. And I realized what happened. The amuna in that part, how he really believed what the Sfas Emes says. I mean, of course, we don't doubt it, but the fact that he had such amuna to believe it was because of the Mesiras Nefesh of his Rosh Hashiva. You see how when you really genuinely are willing to give, then the person is willing to listen. Don't talk from on top of the mountain. Jump into the person's mud and pain. And when you speak to him from there, and the other vart that he told him was, you know, it says by the mitzvah of Hakel, where the melech would read the entire Torah for everyone. So we say the men come to learn, the women come to hear. Taf, lama boy, why do the little children come? And the answer is, litein schar toiv, to give a reward for those who bring them. Nachum Seifer says, sometimes why do little children go away from this world? We don't understand it. But one of the reasons is to give a reward to the parents, for those who raised them up until this point, that they were given permission to have their journey down here in this world. I once heard from a chashev rav who was talking to someone, and it was Dvarim HaYotzim and Alev, words that came out of his heart. That's why it was Nichnasim L'Lev. That's why it entered the person's heart. The Yamshev Rebbe used to say, my father would always say, Dvarim HaYotzim and Alev means you have to be so sincere that your heart has to fill up, it has to pour out of your heart. He quoted a Rabbeinu Bechaya in Parshas Kiseitzi or Shoftim, I don't remember, one of the two, where he says that, you know, when a neshama is called to come down to this world, so the neshama is very frightened. The neshama is kind of in a waiting room. The Derech Hashem says the Gan Eden is broken up into three parts. There's the waiting room, because all neshamas were created at Sheshes Yemei Bereshis. There's the trip down here to this world. There's the Gan Eden after this world. And there's a third part of the Gan Eden of the Olam HaTchiyah, of Tchiyas HaMeisim, where this world becomes Gan Eden. That's the Kaddish Kaddish. Kaddish, the Shloah Kaddish explains whatever this means. We try to picture, you know, a little bit of a very simplistic analogy. The kid comes to the dentist and he sees a beautiful waiting room with fish and toys. He's so excited until they call him into the chair, and all of a sudden, you know, uh-oh. So when a neshama is waiting, we're in the waiting room, and it's so beautiful, it's so great, it's so unbelievable. And then comes the malach and says, you, me? What? It's time for you to be born. No, I don't want to be born. Says the Medrash, greater is the fear of being born than the fear of death. Fear of death is the unknown. The fear of being born is a greater unknown for the neshama. So the Rabbi Shalom Rav Rachamav, the all merciful one, wants to make it a little bit easier for us. So Chazal tells us he sends a malach, and the malach gives us a tour of this world. We look through the entire world, and the malach shows us our parents. The Kedushas Levi says one of the reasons that women cry by a wedding, because the neshama is coming, the neshama is looking, and say, those two kids are going to be our parents! Yep. Our whole future is in... Hashem knows what he's doing. There's a chain of events, the way it works. The neshama starts crying, and the women who are much more sensitive to the sublime, they start crying. And the neshama has shown everything. Marriages, homes, all the phases of life. Ad zivul abas, until the last shovel of earth. Exactly how bchira and free choice plays into this, Chazal deal with. After the neshama is given the tour of this world, and he's told, listen, this is your mission, this is your job, this is the reason you're down here, the neshama comes back up to Shemayim. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, do you understand the mission? The neshama says, yes. You realize you have to be born, that's the purpose of creation, okay. You know I showed you everything beforehand, and I explained it to you, right. And Hashem takes kaviyachal, of course it doesn't mean in a physical sense, but in order for us to understand it, a contract, and says, here, everything is spelled out of the contract. I want you to sign off that you knew about this beforehand. And Hashem signs off. We come down to this world. After 120 years, we come up there. And we say to the Neshama, Rabbi Nishalaylam. We say to the Rabbi Nishalaylam, the Neshama says to the Rabbi Nishalaylam, how could you have done this to me? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shevela, he showed it to you before and you signed off on it. The world is not Hefker. Again, there's a time and a place to give Chizik. There's a time and a place to give Chizik to ourselves as well. I'll share with you a vart. Again, that I once heard from Rabbi Yaakov. B'shem Rabbi Yaakov. I heard it from Rav Ginsburg, Lozang Gesundheit Stark. There was a Rosh Hashiva, a very chashev Rosh Hashiva, who had this. He had lost already a child, and Rosh Hashiva himself had a serious heart condition. and was going through a health issue at that moment, and a terrible tragedy took place with his son in Eretz Yisrael. And he passed away. They were scared to tell him. They were scared, given his health condition, to hear such news. Shem Yirachem. So the Rosh Yeshiva went to learn, and the house turned into a Shiva house. They covered the mirrors, everyone was sitting Shiva. Before the Rosh Yeshiva came back, they turned everything back, and the wife smiled and served supper. This is how it went for 3 days. 3 days! They kept the Rosh Yeshiva at bay. You may say somebody else would have been more perceptive to pick this up. How could you hide a thing like this? But if you would know how immersed this Rosh Hashiva was in his learning, so you'd understand it. And there was a spy to make sure in case the Hashiva came home to quickly get rid of all the small chairs, take off the the signs of a Makim Menachem Eschem. After 3 days, they told Rabbi Yaakov, okay, now tell him. I mean, eventually he's going to find out. So somebody asked Rabbi Yaakov, Mikara Maisava Vahashta Maisava. So what did you think to start with? If we're going to tell him, what changed after 3 days? So Rabbi Yaakov explained as follows. When a person hears about an earth-shattering tragedy, Rahman al-Islam, he says, my life is over. I will never be able to go on. I can't. Life is over. But now you're going to be telling it to him that it happened 3 days ago. And therefore you will say, you survived these 3 days, your life wasn't over. You will continue to survive. One of the most important rules of being mechazik someone in this kind of a situation is to let him know life is going to go on. And when you let him know that I'm going to be there with you for life to go on, not that I'm this super mentor, but we're going to be here for each other as life goes on, that's really a chizik that is unparalleled to anything. I once read a story of a 17-year-old boy who was kind of an intern at Pearl Harbor. He worked on one of the ships, and then came the attack on Pearl Harbor. And this 17-year-old who was so excited about the huge ships was suddenly thrown to a world of death, a world of pain, a world of blood, a world of seeing people being burnt up alive. He personally was not hurt, but the entire night he was ferrying back and forth with a boat, dragging people out of the water soaked in oil. They were like black from the oil, from their heads to the toe, in flames, and he threw his own body on them to try to extinguish the flames. When the night was over, he went into an unbelievable trauma. He was going out of his mind. He just kept reliving the scenes of that terrible night at Pearl Harbor. Somebody once came to him and said, how did you survive that night going back and forth when you were seeing it? So he said, well, then I you what? Well, I had no time to realize the trauma. I had to help the people. So why don't you continue helping people now? So he joined up into a medical technician, paramedic course, and that's what he's been doing since then. He said, that's what saved my life. When we're busy helping others, saving others, it's hard to feel your own pain. Give people the confidence that you're going to get through this and you're going to have the power to give chizik to others. Even the hope of giving chizik to others is already a chizik. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the only one that can really give us the chizik, give us the opportunities to help each other to be mechazik ourselves.